I come to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So we got angry Jesus today, apparently. I mean, Jesus, who seemingly starts out this gospel reading by saying, I wish this would all just burn down already. Frequently, I find myself troubled or discouraged by what I read in the news or what I see on TV. Sometimes it's startling to see so much violence, so much hatred and intolerance toward other human beings. We see as people are shooting police officers shooting people being intolerant because someone's white or because someone's black or because someone's gay or because they're Christian or because they're not Christian. And when you turn on the news and you just see this election cycle this year where it's become so polarized and if you're liberal, it's not enough to just vote against the Republicans. You have to hate Republicans. And if you're conservative, it's not just enough to disagree with the Democratic Party. You're supposed to hate the Democrats. This is the division that we're dealing with, and it's disheartening. And so I find myself turning to the Bible for some sense of solace, for some sense of hope, for inspiration. And what I read this Sunday is Jesus saying, I have not come to bring you peace, but division. And Jesus telling me, households will be torn asunder and family members turning against each other. So this is not warm and fuzzy Jesus this Sunday. But I get it. Jesus is frustrated and he's angry. And in a way, this is somewhat comforting because it helps me to remember that when I'm frustrated and I'm angry, Jesus gets it. He gets it because he's been there too. And I get his frustration. It hasn't come out of nowhere, right? If you've been following for the readings for the last few Sundays, this has been building up. It starts a few weeks back when Jesus is telling the parable of the Good Samaritan, and a young man has been beaten and broken and left for dead by the side of the road, and people walk by and do nothing to help him. Not just anybody, but the people of God. The people who God has taught that their whole lives are supposed to be about loving their neighbor. And they've been taught that their life is supposed to be about seeking justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with your God. And they walk by and do nothing. Of course, Jesus is frustrated and angry. And then the next week, we hear a story. He tells a parable about the man who takes the wealth that has been shared with him. All the wealth that God has bestowed upon him, and he hoards it to himself, keeps it for himself rather than sharing it with those around him, rather than investing in the community around him. And the next week, Jesus sits with his disciples, and he says, this is you. This is a story about you, that I've taught you to love and be charitable and merciful and just, and you keep coming back to me and telling me, but the law says I don't have to. And he tells them again and again, you don't know how much time left you have here. Whether you take that to mean how much time you have left in your lives or how much time until the second coming, nobody knows how much time they have left. And Jesus implores them to use it wisely, to take these gifts that they've been given of their time and their talent and their treasure that's been given to them, and to use it to seek that justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And they struggle. So yes, Jesus is frustrated, and yes, he's angry about it. And I get it. We are still struggling with that today. We are still struggling with that today when we live in a world in which there are plenty of rules in which we're perfectly allowed to take what we have and keep it to ourselves. We rightfully earned it. It's ours. That's okay. But God is calling us to something more than that. We live in a world in which we're being taught it's okay that if you disagree with somebody, to not just disagree, but to hate them for it and to not help them when they're in need. That's okay. But Jesus is calling us to something more than that. And he understands how hard it is. He, later in this gospel story, he's talking to his disciples, and he understands that one of the biggest hurdles we have to face is going to be peer pressure. Pressure from families, pressure from loved ones who don't agree with us. I don't know about y'all, but not everyone in my family agrees about what God has called us to do. I have lots of family members who don't believe God has called us to love everyone unconditionally. They don't believe God has called us to take the gifts we've been given and to share them with those around us. And they actively seek to undermine that. It makes Thanksgivings very fun. But Jesus understands this peer pressure we're dealing with. This is the same pressure we're dealing with that makes bullying possible in schools. Not because kids are bad kids, but because one person does it and it's not cool to not participate, and so the peer pressure builds and you want your family and your friends to like you, and so you participate in it. Or you see on the news as the party that is your party says, this is what you're supposed to think about someone else. This is how you're supposed to treat them. And you want to fit in. You want to be a part of that. And so there's pressure. Jesus gets that as well as anybody, that what he's telling his disciples to do is really difficult because he's asking them to fight against social norms. He's asking them to do something really radical in going out and loving people that sometimes your family and friends have told you you don't need to love, you don't need to take care of. And Jesus is saying, but I want you to anyway, knowing that their parents may not agree. Their kids may not get it. Their brothers and sisters may turn their backs on them for it. The stakes in this are really high. And Jesus is asking his disciples to do it anyway because he believes this is worth it. This is what we're called to do, to be stewards of the world around us, to take the resources we've been given and to put it toward that seeking justice, even when someone else around you says you don't have to. Loving mercy, even when it's not the cool thing to do. Walking humbly with God, even sometimes when it means a loved one isn't going to be on that walk with you. As Jesus has reminded us over the last couple of weeks, we don't know how much time we have. And again, whether you take that to mean we don't know how many years you have left in your life or how many years is left before Jesus is coming back again, but whether it's one day or one year or decades from now, you take that time that we've been given and we use it to invest in the people around us. We spend that precious time we've been given, that precious money we have, those precious energy that we still have left in our lives, and we use it toward that seeking justice, loving mercy, walking humbly with our God, then however long we have left, we can rest assured that we did our best to use it in the way God would have us use it most. So I want to ask you all to pray with me. Oh Lord, our God, in a world that is sometimes frustrating, in a world that is sometimes angering and sometimes scary, we ask that you help us to see your will for us and give us the strength to pursue it always. And help us to remember that no matter how alone we may feel sometimes, no matter how divided we may feel, that we have each other and that we're never far from your will in that. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.